Our first and only review of the day is going to be for the film Paprika. Paprika is a movie directed by Satoshi Kon. Satoshi Kon, very, very big anime director here, who passed away, a while ago, actually, about 14 years ago, he passed away. But he created a lot of great work, not only with this film Paprika, but another film that we reviewed, which is up on the channel, youtube.com, The Afternoon Tune, Perfect Blue. We did that film, which we loved a lot. Thought it was a really amazing film there. He's also other done really great works that are very world-renowned, such as Tokyo Godfathers, which I haven't seen myself. But I hear people really love it, Tokyo Godfathers. But you've seen
it. I can highly recommend it.
Yeah. He also did a TV series called Paranoia Agent as well, which I haven't seen. But again, I've heard really great things about it. Seems like this guy just didn't miss, it seems like. I mean, he just was, yeah,
the only work of his I haven't seen for myself is Millennium Actress, which I think came out in 2001.
Yeah, and he also did a short for like an anthology for like a like Memories, like a segment.
Yes, in that. I believe so.
Have you ever seen that?
That actually is going to be another one I haven't seen. I know Katsuhiro Otomo, who directed Akira, also did a short for that as well.
Mm, nice. So that came out in 1995 that he did a short for that. So Paprika is kind of a very weird movie, very strange, very weird. I'll try to explain it as the best I can. So you have this company that created this DC Mini. DC Mini is something that allows people to record their dreams and live inside their dreams. And then you have the scientist who ended up inventing this. And then you have also a couple of other people who also worked on the project. The DC Mini ends up getting stolen there. And then the person who steals it becomes basically what they say in the movie, a dream terrorist. They're able to go in people's dreams basically while they're awake, implant them there with other people's dreams, and basically completely destroy their lives. It causes people to hurt themselves, even, you know, kill themselves at a certain point there because they think they're living in a dream, but they're actually still in the real world, still awake, still moving around there. A person who's also investigating this crime here is, you do have a detective by the name, I think his name was Kawama?
Kanakawa.
Kanakawa.
Sorry, yeah, Kanakawa.
You do have a detective who's also investigating the case of this missing DC Mini. And you also see at the beginning of the movie that he also, you know, uses this technology. Because he keeps having these nagging dreams that kind of come to him, especially about a case, a recent case they had where somebody got murdered. And then he keeps having these kind of recurring nagging dreams. He's trying to figure out, you know, what's the meaning behind these dreams that he keeps having. And you have also every character by the who's the title of the movie, Paprika, kind of like this dreamless character that, you know, you shows up and takes you through these dreams and allows you to kind of break it all down, have somebody to basically assist you when you're in these dreams. What were kind of some of your thoughts about Paprika, being this is, I mean, cause how many times have you seen this movie in Cleveland?
It's not something like the Cowboy Bebop movie. I've watched it like upwards of 50 times, but I'd probably say at least 5 over the years.
Hmm. Okay. Nice. And what's your thoughts? Do you notice something new every time you see it?
There's the little details, I think, especially just with some of the dream sequences and the animation. I think it's impossible to talk about this movie without talking about Satoshi Kon's kind of his entire body of work, especially in particular Perfect Blue and Paranoia Agent. Something both of those projects have in common is that they kind of have this element of this human tendency to kind of falsify reality and live in some sort of fictionalized presentation of the world rather than dealing with the character's problems. And Paprika, to me, feels like an evolution of that storytelling technique, because much like those films, it is kind of trying to impress on the audience the same sensation of not entirely knowing what's real and what's not. If you pay attention, there's really good subtle clues, like the color schemes. When the dreams are happening, it's much more vibrant in color. Lots of reds and kind of there's this green lighting effect he'll use in a lot of scenes. But he'll kind of fake you out where it seems normal, But if you're on a subsequent viewing, you'll notice that the color scheme is off, and then partway through a scheme, it'll surprise you and be like, oh, no, this isn't the real world. And then in the scenes that are taking place in the real world, you'll notice it's a little more muted. There's a lot of bloom in the image as well, is something I thought was really noticeable on a rewatch.
And that's the thing about, you'll notice things that it's as the movie continues on, things will start to blend together. The real world, what the dream world is, you think it's easy to tell apart. And then with this DC Mini, what it's doing is kind of really blending those two things together and kind of making it hard to distinguish what is reality and what is, just the dream world. Very much like, and people have heard this comparison before, very, very much like what the film Inception did. A lot of its things. And it's not, and then we also, when we talked about Perfect Blue, another Satoshi Kon movie, we talked about how that was very, very much had a heavy influence on Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan. And Darren Aronofsky even cites Perfect Blue as being one of the main inspirations behind why he did Black Swan. But with here, with Christopher Nolan's Inception, I was trying to see, it doesn't seem like Christopher Nolan really wasn't aware of Paprika or really had any, knowledge of the movie himself. Maybe it was unintentional. Maybe he saw it in passing, maybe. What's your kind of thoughts on that of its kind of relationship to Inception?
Well, I mean, I think it could easily be coincidental that the movies share so many similarities. I mean, I know I've had ideas sometimes for a story before, and I'll look it up and go, oh, somebody did it already. I guess that just didn't stop him. But I do think I do think Inception does attempt this idea less successfully, and part of that is just due to taking place in a medium that is live action. Although I will also say I think Paprika is kind of about is also about the escapism and magic of filmmaking in general, and so I'm sure that Satoshi Kon would have absolutely loved to see something that, whether intentionally or not, rung true to his work as well.
Yeah. And why people kind of compare these movies, not only is it dealing with dreams, but it's dealing with implanting dreams. And, towards the, as the movie gets, kind of closer to the end, it blurs reality between what is a dream and, what is reality. You have people who can control these dreams, where they can kind of become architects of their own dreams, where they can redesign everything and change it. And there's some people you see in this world of Inception that become addicted to dreaming, that they only want to dream. I thought this was a cool movie. Came out in 2010. This was kind of another situation where, Christopher Nolan was kind of seems like he was making his pitch to do a James Bond movie there. But cool visually, like you had this hallway scene there with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You also see people kind of suspended in the air and then kind of frozen. It gets into a lot of dream lore there of like, what's behind dreams and why do we have these certain things? For instance, like, when you like are in a dream and then you roll off the side of the bed, like you instantly wake up and you know what I mean? Like, oh fuck, I'm rolling off the side of the bed. So that was, I thought that was pretty cool here. I thought that was kind of really good. I think it does, Inception does enough of its own thing with the whole kind of concept of the dream. 'Cause here you have dream bank robbers, dream heistmen guys there that kind of
More
come
of a
in.
dream heist.
Yeah, we pull off a dream heist, there where kind of guys come in and they're trying to like steal an idea, or they oh no, they're trying to like implant an idea, aren't they? Of like implant an idea inside Cillian Murphy's head about him leaving his father's company or him taking over for his father. If I remember correctly.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but it's something along those lines.
Yeah, so you do have that, but with Paprika here. You mentioned the animation and kind of the look of the movie, gorgeous animation that you have. And this movie came out in 2006. Really, really beautiful animation. Still to this day, I think you have that here. And I saw this in Sub. Did you also see it in Sub?
I actually watched this English. I've seen both versions, and I go with the sub versions of most anime, but I actually think the English dub for this is really strong.
Okay. And do you notice any real difference between the English dub and then the sub there?
I think they did a great job keeping it really consistent. So I actually don't think there's any massive diverging points there.
Nice. We mentioned the lead inspector here who's trying to investigate the crime. We mentioned also you have the doctor, Dr. Sheba, who is a psychiatrist. A lot of what the DC Mini, the invention for it was to help people through in therapy. you know, get behind a lot of, you know, because dreams, we let our subconscious out there, and then we can get dig deeper into the roots. So a lot of you have that. She's the kind of the modest psychiatrist that you see. It's on the project. You also have Tokiata is the
Tokita,
who's the inventor of the DC Mini. There, he's the one that's chronically obese there, and then he's, you know, kind of a, you know, stereotypical genius that you see in a lot of stuff, constantly tinkering with a lot of things, obsessing over a lot of things, possibly maybe could be on the spectrum, maybe to some degree there, even though not stated in it. And you also have Dr. Inu, is how you say it? Inui?
Sejiro Inu, yeah.
Who's the chairman of the Institute of the Psychiatric Research,
and the leader of the School for Gifted Children.
Yeah, which we talked about that. I was wondering, like, is that intentional there of kind of them making him kind of like a Professor X type looking figure? I wondered, you know, and let me see if I can pull up a, yeah, kind of some with him there. Because people don't know Professor X from the X-Men. His whole power is telepathy. And there's tons of times where you'll see it in media where he'll go inside people's minds and, you know, have these kind of battles and fights. I wonder if that was kind of intentional. On their
part. I could totally see it. I mean, that character had been around for a long time already by the time this movie came out. And Satoshi Kon was he was a child of like post-war Japan and kind of grew up in that era where American pop culture was really starting to seep overseas, and he kind of, you know, I actually tried to really do some research about him and some of the things he said about making this movie. And it really seemed like to him, Hollywood was almost this kind of fantasy world really far away when he was growing up as a child. And I think that comes through a lot in this movie.
Yeah. And you see a lot of the conversations like what the lead inspector has with Paprika is about movies. And, you know, he has conversation about why, you know, he hates movies, and you understand later on why he does so. Things come up in his history. But also talks a lot about, you know, they spend their time in movie theaters. They spend the time like a lot of his,
dressed as Akira Kurosawa in that scene you're talking about, where they're sitting in the theater and he's explaining editing techniques to her, and the hat and glasses he's wearing, that's intended to be Akira Kurosawa.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So that's, yeah, really good. Yeah. So it seems like his love of film really kind of comes out here during that expression there, and about film in general, about maybe making a statement on that of how it does, like when you go see a film, it does feel very kind of dreamlike of that. And so that people gets kind of sucked into another reality, very much so what you do with dreams. What do you think about, you know, kind of the messaging of the movie and what it's trying to say?
Yeah, well, I mean, I ultimately think it is all about this idea that you need to have some sort of balance between living in your real life and the reality of it and allowing yourself a healthy amount of escapism. I think that's kind of the dichotomy between Tsukushiba, who's, you know, and actually there's two stolen DC Minis because she took one and was using it to treat Kanekawa unbeknownst to the people at her company. And so while she's helping him deal with these dreams that are very much about movies, his problem is that he's living so much his own reality and not allowing himself the pleasure of dreaming. And I think that all really kind of has this great exclamation point where the DC Mini to me, in a way, you know, a piece of technology allowing you to kind of live in dreams, I think that's supposed to be a representation of film as a piece of technology that allows you to kind of live in dreams. And, you know, finding this balance there where Tsuko is all about living in her dreams. She wants to kind of exist purely as her Paprika alter ego. And both characters kind of learn to allow themselves the room to experience the opposite. There's like an integration. I was reading about some of Satoshi Kon's intentions here. This is a quote of his about this movie. I think there's a danger too. If you go into that world, it's very vivid and colorful and seductive, but there are traps within that, particularly if you let your real world deteriorate as a result. I think it is appropriate to say that I want to believe that the dream is the language of the unconscious mind. Instead of using human invented language like English or Japanese, The mind unveils the deepest needs and expresses that through visual symbolism.
And you see with the character with, Sheba, who has her alter ego of Paprika, of very difference of personalities. You see her when she's the doctor, very serious, very buttoned up, and then when she's Paprika, very more free, carefree, loving, attentive. And you see she's, can do a lot more there in that. And you see Paprika a lot when, she's the alter ego protecting, Sheba, and you see them, even in the same scene together, even though one's an alter ego, they have her coming in to protect it, which, you can see like, your subconscious mind protecting you, from danger there. You can draw a lot from that. I mean, I really love, especially, it gets into a lot of the craziness of dreams. Like there's the scene where one of the members of the team gets infected by the DC Mini, the dream terrorist. And they're having like this big carnival parade, like through a jungle, and all these kind of different things are showing up. And let me see if I can open it up here. And this is it right here. And they're trying to save the character. It's just the craziness of the dream. So many different wild things kind of happening here in this scene, and them trying to, save this person's life. And who is this character? I'm blanking on their
Oh,
name.
what is his name? That's the only character I didn't write down the name for.
And it gets into just the freakiness of those dreams that you have, like faces just pop up sometime in your dream. You've ever had weird dreams at all like that?
Yeah, I've had some weird ones. I don't remember them very often, but recently I had a dream where I was walking around eating chicken in some sort of weird shopping mall butcher shop combination.
Shima,
I don't know what it meant,
Shima is I believe his name there from it.
yes, Shima.
He's one of the people that works at the institution there, as a part of the team. I mean, and he gets kind of infected there by the dream terrorist, and you see the effects. That's when the actually the first times you see the dream terrorist in action is on him, and what that can really do, and how it kind of can immobilize you in a way. And I thought that was kind of really scary too, of how this can. When you're wide awake, you can still be dreaming and, move around there as if you're doing anything. And there's people, who do, sleepwalk, which, ever seen people sleepwalk, it's kind of terrifying. It's kind of scary there when you kind of do it there, because it's like
Absolutely.
a person's not aware, but they're still kind of moving around.
Yeah, tie yourself up in a sleeping bag at night so you can't move.
I mean, sometimes you got to do that with people. Like some people need to be strapped down, if they have that type of condition. I think, is this kind of one of the best movies you've seen play around with dreams and dreaming?
I'd say it's the best. There's a movie I have not seen that I'd really like to, actually, that Akira Kurosawa directed. Called Dreams, that is about him kind of expressing his artistic intentions through the form of other artists inside of dreams. And I'm almost certain with the fact that this movie makes such a direct and overt Akira Kurosawa reference that that was probably a big inspiration for Satoshi Kon.
And then with this movie, do you think it's one of his best films? Do you think this is his best film?
For me, this is kind of his masterwork. I think it's the kind of culmination of his career. Like I mentioned earlier too about how Perfect Blue and Paranoia Agent in particular about this kind of idea that human beings will falsify kind of this fiction of the mind and present that as the truth to themselves instead of dealing with the harsh truth of reality. And both of those do it in this kind of horror setting almost. And I feel like Paprika is really interesting because it uses a lot of like Freudian and Jungian psychoanalysis to I think kind of offer take that same idea, but then also present the audience with solutions to that concept rather than only trying to scare you. And I think that comes in the idea of trying to achieve that balance between allowing yourself escapism in the form of dreams or cinema, and then but also realizing that if you only exist within those things, you spend your entire life living in those things, that your reality will deteriorate around you. And so there's this wonderful moment near the end where Kanakawa very much in the real world and throughout the whole movie, the dream's always been much more colorful than the reality sequences, but it's a scene fully in reality at the end where he's walking through a cinema. You actually see Satoshi Kon's other movies on the marquee, and it's vibrant and it's golden. It feels like this kind of safe haven. And his he goes to watch a film, and it kind of, Satoshi Kon couldn't have known it was going to be his last movie. In fact, I believe he was actually working on another movie. I think I wrote the name down.
Yeah, you see it right here. He's got Perfect
Yep, right there.
Blue.
Yep.
He's got Tokyo
Millennium
Godfather,
Actress.
Millennium
Yeah,
Actress
Tokyo
right there.
Godfathers. He was working on another film when he died, but I this the way this
What is
movie
that one
ends
right
with this kind of.
there? You know, this one?
So that one's interesting because that one's not one that he actually made. So they throw this kind of fake one in. And again, I think it's just another way of going, making you kind of question the reality of the moment just a little bit. Because he likes to kind of, I think in all of his projects, he likes to kind of give the audience the same feeling that the characters have, where is this real? Is this not? And so this the Ch Dreams of Children, I want to say, is the title for that one. Or Dreaming Kids, that's just right there.
Yeah, that's what the one, because all the other titles, they don't have a caption that pops up for them, but this one they do.
No, just that one.
Just that one, Dreaming.
Yeah, I think both allowing yourself to enjoy the escapism of both dreams and cinema, and it's such it feels like a goodbye. I know he planned on making more work, but it really, I think, feels like this kind of beautiful goodbye to the art form that he loved that the movie ends on.
Yeah. I mean, he did probably know. I mean, he had pancreatic cancer. So he passed away at
Yeah.
46. So he probably knew,
2010, I think.
yeah, his time was coming, or his time was limited there. So he might have maybe knew that. Yeah. I mean, but that's a beautiful way to end the movie there, which you see in him overcoming his hatred of movies, and going to see a movie. You see throughout the movie, like his dreams, kind of are movies, because there's this one where he's Tarzan, there's one where it's a spy movie. They in this one where he's a photographer there, filming a movie with an actress there, it looks like a fight scene. So you see that kind of throughout his work. He dreams about these kind of movies, which is really nice that you see there. So he finally kind of got over his hatred of that. Yeah, I mean, this is a really wonderfully made movie there. I think I maybe do like this more than something like Perfect Blue. It's just more trippy and more weird in terms of that. I mean, this is a movie that I think really requires you to see it multiple times, two, three, four times,
100%.
to get more
Yeah.
stuff about it and kind of maybe understand more about it and kind of what maybe is being said about it.
And that's reflected, I think, really well in the character of Tokita too, because you're introduced to him early on. He's very overweight, and you kind of get this idea that he doesn't take care of himself very well, and he's more obsessed with kind of things rather than relationship with other people. But as the movie goes on, in almost every scene he's kind of shown to have some of the most compassion out of the cast of characters, and some of the most care towards other people, and just an affable, likable personality. And I think that in a way is kind of representative of the film itself, where it's kind of inviting you to do a little bit more of an analysis of it rather than just a surface level viewing.
Yeah, and they have a beautiful scene with Sheba and him, and where they, she helps him break him out of the dream there, and she talks to him about his faults there, and about also the things that makes him kind of wonderful there, and it goes back to the scene where they very very first met, where he's stuck in a like an elevator, there you see that. Let me see if I can pull up that scene right here, pull it up, and it's this one right here. And it's the parallel between the dream world and the real world that you kind of have that there, which is really good.
I'm sorry. You're a walking disaster.
I know.
You're fat and slow. You're just a mess.
Well, I promise you, it gets more inspirational after that. I promise. Just oh, stick with me. Hold on, people. Yeah, it gets more a little bit more inspirational.
To think this century's greatest genius isn't smart enough to stop eating.
I'll swallow anything edible put in front of me.
I know. You're so open to everything. That's why you're so much fun.
Yeah. So that's kind of a sweet moment that you have between those two characters there. That is really good.
Do you think her character really? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, go ahead. You can go with your thought there.
I was just going to say, I think that really is kind of the culmination of her character arc, and she spends so much of the story being so much more interested in living as that alter ego. And it's kind of clear, especially in multiple viewings, that she does have some real affection for Chiquita, but she kind of denies herself the pleasure of interacting with him and being more open and human with him until the end. And that kind of is the moment of her deciding, I've spent too long indulging in escapism and kind of the opposite of Kanakawa's character arc. I need to spend more time living in the real world. And that kind of comes in the form of expressing to Chiquita how much she actually cares about him.
Yeah. Do you think this movie struggles with narrative-wise of, like, clearly laying out things, or do you think that it's done on design by purpose?
I think it's done on design by purpose, and I think it can absolutely come across that way on a first viewing, that it could be a little messy and confusing. But I think what's interesting about it, once you've seen it, I'd say at least twice for sure, I think it becomes a lot less important what is real and what isn't real, although that's certainly an interesting conversation to have in and of itself. But I think the points really are more about how the way the character arcs are expressing themselves are the same and consistent across the dream and the reality. And I think once you kind of almost let go of trying to focus on, all right, is this the real part? Is this the dream part? And just kind of look at where the character arcs are taking them. I think that's when the plot and the narrative really comes together.
Any issues you think this movie has?
I can't lie. I really have no complaints at all, other than maybe it's going to be a little too weird for some people in a more mainstream audience. It is asking you to sit through a lot of very zany, wild things to kind of get to its deeper meanings. But so it might not be the most mainstream friendly film in the world. Although I will say that's actually a very interesting thing, because Satoshi Kon's films were generally a little more cult hits. And this being his final work was actually his biggest success. And it kind of made people appreciate his older films a little more retroactively. This debuted to a pretty significant box office take, especially in Japan. And he kind of exploded as a name because of this movie.
Mm. And what do you think out of all the movies he did? Why do you think this one, you think, really?
Well, like I was saying about how previous films they're about this tendency to falsify reality, this movie offers solutions to that psychological problem. It takes those same themes from, a film like Perfect Blue, which is more of a horror story, and this is really kind of giving the audience a way forward, trying to provide a way out of some of those psychological issues. And I think it does so in such a beautiful way. It feels like not only does this movie, I think, have a great ending and exclamation point on it with Kanakawa going to the cinema, but it feels like an exclamation point to me on all of the stories that Satoshi Kon told across his career.
And then at the ending, you do have, the big main villain of this. You figure out who's behind all this, and you figure out it's the one who's heading up the actual psychiatric research center there in you, who turns into a giant kind of kaiju type beast there at the end, dream type beast that you kind of see at the end there, and they have to end up fighting it, so it gets kind of a little wild there towards the end, especially with kind of like a dream fight that basically happens there.
And even in that, there's some great psychoanalytical symbolism going on, because when the moment you just played of Chiquita and Atsuko and that very sweet moment that they have there, that's followed up by them kind of merging into this translucent child that's like starts swallowing the chairman's kind of godlike form. And that is, I believe, meant to be a representation of theory from Carl Jung. And there's this whole kind of element of his psychoanalysis theory of kind of the integration of the anima, which is like the feminine form of the male mind, the integration of male and female into one being, and that being this kind of ultimate psychologically healthy way of existing is kind of represented in that child that they merge together and create.
So what would you give Paprika?
This is this is cinema for me. This is one of my my favorite movies. It's my favorite Satoshi Kon film. And I think this, you know, it's so unfortunate that we lost such a great artist so early. But I am thankful that he was able to put something like this out into the world. I honestly think it's one of the most beautiful pieces of art that is out there.
Yeah. Gorgeous movie, great performances that you have there. And I saw it only in sub. I did not see the dub version of this. Any well-known American actors that came in here?
You know, I didn't recognize them off of the top of my head, but I'll pull up the IMDb here and just double check just to be absolutely sure.
Yeah, but wonderful, I think, yeah, performances that you have, great animation, great direction of this, Satoshi Kon. Really proved to be a master, you know, in his art there of doing these movies. And maybe if he stayed, you know, if he was able to stay alive longer, maybe we'd be talking about him and also like Hayao Miyazaki, you know, and his work.
I think so.
You know, because of just how much his influence has had. We talked about Perfect Blue with, you know, Western films like Black Swan. This movie, even maybe in an indirect sense, maybe Paprika and something like Inception there, how people compare that. And maybe if he continued to do more work, continue to do movies, it would still have a huge impact on Western films and just other films overall in general. I mean, that's, you know, just how great of an artist he was there.
I only recognize one name on this list, but Yuri Lowenthal of the Spider-Man video game fame was the English dub voice for Takita.
Ah, okay. Spider-Man was in this. Oh, wow. Shout out to Spider-Man there. great for him. So, yeah, you do have that, the trippy kind of sequences. I will say it's a movie that does require you to watch it multiple times to maybe get more things out of it. I mean, it's a movie that I definitely want to go back and watch to catch more things in it. It's not a movie you can watch maybe on your phone or your computer or anything like that. You got to watch it. You got
to definitely half paying attention to this one.
Yeah, you got to be full into it in order to catch all the things, in order to understand the story and kind of what's going on there. So I give it This Is Cinema as well, just of how well it's executed, and more things you can kind of dig deeper into it, and the psychology that you spoke about in the movie. To This Is Cinemas for Paprika. Any final thoughts?
One more little bit of symbolism I'll throw at you is the dream parade that you keep seeing throughout the movie that's kind of invading the different minds and then eventually reality itself. But it has this real interesting visual aesthetic of it's just a mash of different cultural references. There's stuff like the Statue of Liberty. It starts out the first time you see it, it's very specifically Japanese cultural figures, or not figures, but objects. And as it goes along further into the movie, and this is closer to the third act here, you really start to see this kind of multicultural representation going on. And, you know, I had this thought that, like, Satoshi Kon being a child of post-war Japan, and kind of really seeing a multicultural entertainment industry start to emerge in that time, I think that parade maybe represents what a fear of like a more globally connected society might look like to people who are kind of afraid of technology in the future. That's just one potential interpretation. You could throw probably a million things out there that you could see. So who knows?
Yeah. Makes me kind of going to look at some interviews of Satoshi Kon, what he had to say about the movie and kind of his overall inspiration there a little bit more. But yeah, definitely. Great film. Glad we could be able to review it. Two great This Is Cinemas here. And they did do a re-release of it in theaters. If you were some of the lucky people that were able to catch it when it did a re-release, lucky you, yeah, be able to see it in a theater.
I was really wanted to. I just did not have a chance to go and see it.
Yeah, super limited, only like a week. I think it was out a few weeks.
Yeah, I think it was part of the same run that the Cowboy Bebop re-release was. So yeah, it was like almost the same exact amount of time as that.
Yeah. We're gonna get out of here.